Lord, a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord, everybody. What a privilege to be here with all of you. And mostly it's a privilege to be here because God's here. As much as I love you, probably wouldn't come if I didn't think God was going to be here. But he's here. And man, what fantastic preaching last night, Brother Nunez. God spoke to us. And he comes from Durham, North Carolina. His pastor is a great, great friend of mine. We speak often, and I love your pastor. And if I don't talk to him before you do, tell him I said hello. And then finally to this great church, you have hosted this splendidly. The lasagna, the chicken pasta, yeah. And to Pastor and Sister Fishburne, great man, great woman of God, and their sons and daughter. And I am glad to have my wife and my daughter here with me. My sons are now old enough to handle themselves, and so they had youth service last night. So they will. They just stayed home, but we gave them some assignments while they were there. Like, if you're not going to travel, we've got some things for you to do. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, I don't intend to go long, but I never do. And we always end up going long. Very familiar passages of Scripture that we will read today. Hold on. Let's get to the one that we need. There we go. Very familiar passages of Scripture, one in Romans 8, one in Ephesians 5. Romans 8, 26, Ephesians 5, 17. That's where we'll begin reading. How many felt the Holy Ghost in here while we were singing and praying? If you're in Romans 8, say amen. Amen. Romans 8, chapter 8. Verse 26, this is Paul speaking to the Roman church. Obviously, very familiar passage of Scripture here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It helps us where our capabilities lack, is what you're supposed to understand there. The Spirit helps where our capabilities lack, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Notice that. We don't know what, and we don't know how. Okay, we don't know this. He said, for we know not what, we don't know what. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, there's a should, and we don't know what, and we don't know how we should do it. But the Spirit itself, everybody say the Spirit itself. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Let's use that for our title. I'm not good with titles, so I actually have to just kind of bum it off of the passage that I'm reading. Bum is probably bumming it. We probably even say that better. I have to borrow it from the passage that I'm reading. Let's take that as our title, the mind of the Spirit. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we're going to talk about the mind of the Spirit today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. If you're there, say amen. Verse 17, wherefore, and you'll have to look back and see what that, anytime you see a wherefore, you have to look back and see what it's there for. So you'll have to read back and see what that wherefore is there for. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In Romans 8, it was the mind of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, it is what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's part of what we've been doing in this room today. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's take the next 35, 45, 75 minutes and let's talk about the mind of the Spirit. Will you help me this morning? The Holy Ghost has helped me. Why don't we just lift our hands and lift our voice all over the house one more time before we're seated? I love you, Jesus. I worship you, God. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. There's nobody with your power, nobody with your grace, nobody with your capability. And God, we're here serving you and worshiping you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Find somebody that you're aggravated at and shake their hand first before you're seated. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say the mind of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I can't do this without the Holy Ghost. I don't have the capability to do it. The longer that I've pastored and led people, the more I think that it's humorous that I could ever get anything done without the Holy Ghost. My best effort falls well short of what ought to be done, but the Holy Ghost is so perfect. How many know that we serve a perfect God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, God is so perfect that he can do perfect things with imperfect people. He can accomplish perfect things with imperfect people. Now, this is the thing. You can come to church with a bad attitude or whatever. You know, it was a Monday or you know, it's just been one of those kind of weeks, and you're not evil. You just don't feel good. And you come to the house of God and you've had a bad week. But if you can pray and get in the Holy Ghost, God can take somebody that's had a bad week and give them a word fitly spoken, and it saves somebody's life. How many are thankful for the operation of the Holy Ghost in our lives? Now, I will use, my title was The Mind of the Spirit. And I will use interchangeably the ideas of being led by the Spirit and following the Holy Ghost and hearing the voice of God. And we'll use that interchangeably. So when I'm talking about one, you'll know that, and this is kind of second nature for Pentecostal people, that when we talk about one, when we talk about following the Holy Ghost, then we say, in talking about following the Holy Ghost, we'll say, and God said, and we did what God said, and that's all part of finding and following the mind of the Spirit. So I tried to think of some examples, some instances of the Spirit leading when I was either in the situation or was directly led of the Spirit. And I'll ask you to forgive me, or don't. You don't have to forgive me. Either way, I'm still doing it. I'm going to ask you to forgive me because some of these are personal examples. I just know my stories better than I know anybody else's stories. So I tried to think of some examples, some instances of the Spirit leading when I was either involved in the situation or the Holy Ghost led me directly. And I thought, okay, I'm trying to pray and feel about how to do this week leading up. And I just wanted to give some examples. I listened to Brother Fishburne last night give some examples of people praying. And I guess if it wasn't an alligator, I guess maybe it was a Holy Ghost stick of dynamite, you know, that dog ate or whatever. But I remember one particular service, my wife and I were there. We were very young, newly married. And I remember one particular service where our pastor's wife, Sister Wilson, was there in church. I just gave this example in our service just a few services ago. And she was there. We were all in church. And in California, there was just a diverse population there. There were African. I remember in one service we had almost 16 different languages represented. It represented some of them from Africa, some of them were Asian, some of them were European languages, some of them from the Middle East, etc. And one of the groups of people that we were able to break into, I'll just tell this story. One of the groups of people that we were able to break into were Chinese immigrants, but they were not immigrants. They came to the United States illegally, and what they would do is they would stow away on a ship that was coming to the United States that was scheduled to port in San Francisco, and they would make themselves known 24 hours out of port. We're already off my notes here, so we'll just follow the Holy Ghost. We'll follow the mind of the Spirit today, I guess is what we'll do. And so about 24 hours out of port in China, they would make themselves known so that they could get out of the box that they put themselves in some cases, and survive the boat ride. And so they would lock them away on the ship. And when they came to San Francisco, these Chinese immigrants, some of them men, some of them women, would be taken to cities. The ladies were taken to Marysville, and the men were taken to Yuba City, both of them north of Sacramento. Well, we kind of broke into this community, and we would go up. A group of us would drive up from Sacramento to either Yuba City. I never went to Marysville, always to Yuba City. And we would teach these men home Bible studies in prison and through the glass. And we couldn't go in there. Eventually, they would let us go in there with a kiddie pool, and we were able to baptize them. But we would sit at the glass, and we would talk to them, and they would sit there very stoically, very unemotional, and we would teach them a home Bible study. But this, I'm just showing you, this is how everything that we do in church isn't built around emotion. We take our emotions and give it. If this was a marriage seminar, I would say that emotions are not reactions. Emotions are investments. But listen, we're telling 17 stories at once here. You kind of have to keep these all cataloged. Emotions are not reactions. Emotions are investments. We don't blow it. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, that's an investment. That's not a reaction. Right. The way you react to your enemy is punch your enemy. That's the reaction. But when you invest, emotions are not reactions. Emotions are investments. You don't hate your enemy. That's the reactive emotion. Love your enemy. That's where. So when Jesus talks about something that's far out, anyway, that means everything up to it, you do the same. So where were we at? Yeah, okay, so we were going to Yuba City, and that's what it was. They were unemotional. They would sit there, and they would listen, and I do not speak Chinese. I eat Chinese food. That's as close as I get to speaking Chinese. And these men would listen, and at the end of teaching a home Bible study, I kid you not, at the end of teaching a home Bible study, it's me, and there were several guys that went. Sister Charity at the time, her name was Sister Charity. Jen was her name. She changed it to Charity later. And I would teach the home Bible study, and she would translate while I taught it. And these men would get the Holy Ghost by standing up, unemotional. They would say, okay, lift your hands. And on the other side of the glass, they would lift their hands. And we couldn't get in there. And so what they would do is they would lean forward and put their head on the glass. And we would lay our hand on the glass. And those men would get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Today, Today, I have a photograph of me and Brother David Wu, who now pastors, I think, two churches in Northern California for Asian-speaking, for Chinese-speaking, either Mandarin or Cantonese. Thank God, if you and I will just get the mind of the Spirit and just go, even when it looks small, even when it looks like something that might be insignificant, and I don't even know how to do this little thing, if you and I will follow the Holy Ghost, God can do in Huntington and in Niles, and God can do in Bay City, and God can do wherever you're at. God can do incredible things if you and I. Now listen, this the Holy Ghost is in the room already, and I think you and I ought to reach out with our voice and with our hands and just thank him for what he's doing. God, we want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So all of that to say that in this particular service, there were a number of Chinese people there that could not speak English. One of them was a Buddhist monk. and he came to church and was sitting back there. They had little headsets, and while the preaching was going on, I think there's at least six languages that happens right now. While the preaching was going on, there was an interpreter and it went right to their ears. We didn't have those at this time. And in the middle of service, we're talking about getting the mind of the Spirit, yielding to the Holy Ghost, letting God speak. And in the middle of church, Sister Wilson stood up and began to speak in other tongues. And it wasn't tongues and interpretation. It wasn't for tongues and interpretation. And you and I can tell the difference. You know, we can tell the difference when that happens. And it wasn't tongues and interpretation, but the whole time that she spoke in tongues, she spoke to that man. Wow. Where none of the rest of us could speak to that man. But the whole time she was speaking in tongues, she spoke to that man, and we were able to pray him through and baptize him in Jesus' name. This is the mind of the Spirit. Let me give you a couple of personal examples. And I could give many, and probably could pass this microphone around in this room, and you could give many. We could just make this a time where we just tell stories like this. I remember being on an elevator at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, which is where we pastor, in just a little north of Birmingham. And I remember getting on an elevator in Birmingham. And there was a group of us on the elevator, and we were going up several stories in this hospital, one of the cutting edge hospitals in the South. And we're riding up, and the Holy Ghost says to me about a particular lady, ask this woman what part of California she's from, and it's going to give you an open door. You think I'm joking? So we're riding the elevator up. Listen, if you think I'm weird, I am. I am. I'm weird. So we're riding the elevator up, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to do this in front of all these people. And everybody but me and this lady got off on one floor. Ding, the doors open, and everybody that's wearing doctors and nurses clothes, they get off, and it's just me and her. And so I thought, well, okay, we'll just try it. And so we're going up. We got a few floors to go. And I look at her and I said, so what part of California are you from? And I thought the woman was going to climb up in the corner of the elevator like a cat hanging onto the ceiling. And I said, ma'am, come down. I'm just kidding. And she was from Salinas, California. And I was able to give her, they now lived in Birmingham, and I was able to give her Brother Sutton's information. I don't know if she went, but I know that woman heard from the Holy Ghost that day. Amen. How many believe in all of this that we're talking about right now? So these are examples of following the Holy Ghost, getting the mind of the Spirit. I can't do this without the Holy Ghost helping me. You can't do this without the Holy Ghost helping you. And I've noticed, we'll give one more and then I'll move on. I have noticed that in the last 3 years, it's taken me a long time to figure out how God will speak to me. Maybe it won't take you as long. I'll give you this example. Maybe it won't take you as long. It's taken me a long time to figure out how God speaks to me. I have noticed in the last 3 years, I maybe it was longer than that. I have noticed in the last 3 years that God will speak to me about situations, about people, about events. And it took me a while because God will allow me to feel, this will sound, you'll understand what I'm saying, I think. I believe you will. God will allow me to feel people before they ever get there. And we're not scheduled to be together. I just feel it. And I will have, maybe we could call them pre-conversations with people, even before they come. And then eventually those people will be together, and I will have already had the conversation. I know. I just hang out with me, and God will do it to you and me too. There's instances sometimes to the positive, sometimes to the negative. Two or three months, well, no, it's been about 6 months ago. I woke up one morning and was praying about a particular family that no longer goes to our church. They no longer go to our church now. It was a fairly large family. And I got up and I went to Cracker Barrel for breakfast. And I went in, and as they were sitting me at my table, that was the thing. I felt this family and I had conversations with them. I know that sounds odd. And I'm sitting at the table, I noticed them and they noticed me. Now, I haven't pastored these people now in, what, 7 years, 8 years, maybe more? They've been gone that long. And it's a family. I had no reason to think of them. This was not, I didn't have reason for these people to be present in my mind. And so I'm sitting at this table and they notice me and I notice them. And immediately, I didn't say anything. Immediately they become uncomfortable. And they start they don't get fidgety, but it's like they wave at me like, huh? I'm like, hey, everybody doing good? And these people that I haven't pastored in 8 years called me pastor. And some of them knew me. They were older than I was. And growing up, they called me Brother Jeremy. That was my name. But the younger ones called me pastor and Brother Jeremy. And the conversation that we had was the conversation that I'd had before I even got there. And the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost is in this room right now. And if you and I will yield to it, these are the doors that can be opened. Yeah, hallelujah. Well, this is the way I was raised. This is the way I was raised. I was raised with mom praying the sun up and dad praying the sun down. With mom praying us to school and dad praying us to bed. And when I talk about, I remember waking up at 2 a.m. and dad being in the living room. Because at two, when you're 15 years old, you wake up at 2 a.m. to go eat. You're starving. And mom would put leftovers in the refrigerator and the next morning. We're already off my notes. Listen, if you have a copy of my notes, they're not any good now. But I remember waking up and dad be in the living room praying and not just praying. You know, sometimes we pray and it sounds like we got four bumblebees in our mouth. You know, he's that's what it sounds like. But that's not how dad was praying. It was there was fire in it. There was heat in that prayer. And I could walk from my bedroom to the kitchen and you couldn't miss dad praying. Well, it was the same with mom. It was the same with my mom. And these were people that were led by the Holy Ghost, where God would tell them such and such is happening right now. And they would deal with it. And people would say, how in the world did you know? I'll tell you how we know. It's not because we're brilliant. It's not because you're intelligent. It's not because we've got some skill set. We've got the mind of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody preach with me for just a second. I know I'm not sermonizing with you, but that's what it's going to take to get the job done that you and I are doing. We've got to have the mind of the Holy Ghost. But I have been, and I'm thankful, and my wife and myself, we've tried to do the same for our children, where we live in a very spirit-led household, as I'm sure all of you do. Now, it's my job, our job as ministers, as people of God, to be open to the things of the Spirit. And openness to the Spirit allows things to happen that are outside the realm of normal possibilities. There is an operational part of living for God, a spirit operational part of living for God that is a must. It is irreplaceable. In fact, scripture would say as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. In other words, this is one of the marks of being one of God's kids, is that you're led by Him. And this side of living for God is often a thing that makes people nervous, but it's real. And it's how God gets things done in and through His body, His church. This is how He gets things done. And we have scriptural examples where people are, the Bible will use the word led of the Spirit. Sometimes it says led, and then sometimes it gets more dramatic. I'll just give you a couple of examples here. How long have I been going, Vondelay? Keep an eye on the time for me. When we get to 11:45, just stand up and say, babe, it's over. I'm just kidding. We won't go to 11:45. But let me just give you a couple of examples. We'll use the Lord. He's a great example of just about anything. And we'll where scripture talks about, it will use the term lead, the leading of the Spirit, mind of the Spirit, hearing from God, direction of the Holy Ghost, etc. Luke gives one account of Jesus. This is after he has been baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. And Luke gives one example of Jesus being led by the Spirit. Listen to this. This is Luke 4. This is right after Jesus' baptism. Luke 4, verse 1, and it says this, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was, notice what it says, and was led, everybody say led, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, Luke is not the only one to tell this story. Mark also tells it. Listen to Mark's account, where Luke says it one way, Mark says it this way. Mark was much more aggressive. We're talking about the leading of the Spirit. Mark was much more aggressive in his description of it than Luke was. Mark chapter 1, verse 12, and immediately, notice this, it's almost like when he comes up out of the water, immediately the Spirit driveth him, where Luke says, was led by the Spirit. Mark said, immediately as he comes up out of the water is what it sounds like, that the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Listen, sometimes the Spirit leads and sometimes the Spirit drives. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Spirit says, come. And sometimes the Spirit says, come. Sometimes the Spirit says, go. And sometimes the Spirit says, go and go right now. And there's just somebody raise your hand and testify with me that you felt the Holy Ghost do this before. Yeah. Sometimes it's leading and sometimes there's a driving to it. I on one occasion, I remember my sister was present. There was a group of young people that I was in charge of, and I was sick. I was very, not just a little bit sick. I was very sick. And I was in charge of this particular situation, and we call it like a youth activity kind of a deal. And I had laid down, I was sick, and I thought, well, okay, I'm gonna lay right here and I can see everybody. And I remember getting up, not feeling well, and the Holy Ghost literally driving me to my knees. I wasn't being spiritual. I was sick. I was being feverish. And I remember immediately praying in the Holy Ghost. I wish that I had been building up to it. I can't even claim any kind of good action there. But I remember praying in the Holy Ghost. And there was a particular situation that my sister and one other girl came to me. And they said, did you know that such and such was going on? And I said, had no idea. And it stopped it. It stopped it. And the person that it was happening to came to me afterward and they asked, did you know that it was? I said, I had no idea that it was going on. And they said, thank you for following the Holy Ghost. Well, I wish I could take some credit for that. But sometimes the Spirit leads and sometimes the Spirit drives. Amen. Can anybody know what we're talking about here? Amen. So sometimes the Holy Ghost speaks to us, and because we're so accustomed to it, we're kind of spoiled rotten as Pentecostals when it comes to spiritual things. We're kind of a little spoiled rotten, and this can get dangerous. Young people, listen to me. You can be around this so much that you can actually get bored with God, which is dangerous. You have to tend that situation. No, I'm not going to get bored with what's going on. When Brother Nunez was preaching last night, I thought, my goodness, listen to the passion that this man is preaching with. That's what you have to do. Paul told Timothy, you have to stir that gift up. This isn't something you have to tend it. You have to stir it up. You can't get bored with it. You can't get routine with it. No, you got to preach. Sometimes you got to get up and preach when you don't feel like preaching. Sometimes you got to teach. Sometimes you got to pray. You got to sing when you don't feel like it. And you've got, this going back to what we talked about at the beginning, you have to invest emotion. You have to invest passion. You have to invest punch, pull, push, whatever you've got to do. Somebody say amen. But sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to us, and because we're accustomed to it, it doesn't shock us. It always is one of those things when people come into our church, and it's just normal church for us. And man, they're about to fall over the last row of chairs. Like, oh my word, what in the world are these people doing? Well, this is the Holy Ghost. And you and I, because we're around it all the time, it doesn't astound us. Now, part of that's a good thing. If the Holy Ghost, every time, we need people that know how to do this. And you ought to always be willing to fall in the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost. And then at the same time, we need people that aren't always falling in the floor. We need people that can administer this. Somebody say amen right there. My wife is a great example. Where the Holy Ghost will come on her or it's coming on the whole church. Well, she can't get up and run the aisles. She's playing the piano. And if she stops playing the piano, we're all like, hey, what in the world? And so there's this thing where you have to, forgive me for even saying it this way. This sounds like a lowly way to speak about this. You have to be skilled in the Holy Ghost. You have to be skilled in it. Does that sound too perfunctory? Okay. You have to be skilled in following the Holy Ghost. And you have to be able, scripture talks about, God says, this is not my notes, but God says, I will speak to my prophets in dark sayings. He said, but it's not that way with Moses, who is faithful. Him will I speak face to face. Okay. In other words, there's the leading of the Spirit that happens that way. It happens face to face. I have friends that see angels, and that's great. Listen, if I see an angel, I want us all to be there together. I don't want to see one when I'm by myself. I want all of us to be there together, and I want some of you in front of me and some of you behind me. I'm just kidding. If God, Lord, I'm open to it. But for the most part, the way the Spirit speaks to me, and I'm assuming to a lot of you, He does it conversationally. Tells me. Speaks to me. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will do this, and we have to recognize. A big part of following the Holy Ghost is recognizing the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will say, no, don't date that one. Don't go here, go here. Don't say this, say this. Amen. And we have to learn. The more you wrestle with it, God will use somebody like me. And they'll say, no. And they'll say, Pastor, what do you feel about me dating so-and-so? I think that you'll probably go to hell if you date her. See how that works? It's much easier to just take it from the Holy Ghost. So, okay. All right. My notes say if they're not running the aisles here, you need to close it down. So here's the question. Is there a process to being led by the Spirit? Is there a process to bring this? Is there a process that gets us to that place? Now, normally a couple times a week in prayer, the angels will pick me up. Or, you know, it's prayer where you feel it. It's prayer where you're in the heavenlies. It's prayer where you're in the depths. You know what I'm talking about. That normally happens once, twice a week. But you got to pray every day. It's like we have church bonfires for our young people. And there's a lot of it most of church bonfire is collecting wood for the bonfire. And so we might spend 2 weeks, and you drive by our church and you're like, good grief, look at that trashy deal of pallets and logs out there in their churchyard. But that's what it is. And then at the right moment, under the right conditions, we're going to ignite that, and that thing's going to blaze up. And we go, oh, goodness, I see what they were doing. Well, so this is, I can't even remember what I was going to say. Let me get back up here. So a couple times a week, that's what happens. There's an ignition. The fire's there. But you have to pray. Is there a process? You have to pray. You have to pray until you get there. You have to pray. You have to build up. You have to build up kindling. You have to build up wood, if you will, so that that can be ignited. I believe the way the man of God preached about it last night, you have to have a sacrifice on the altar. And so is there a process to getting in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, finding the mind of the Holy Ghost? Let me just give you a few pointers. Maybe they're more than pointers. Maybe these are steps. The answer is yes, to a certain degree, there is a process to getting in the Spirit. And we have to have, if I were to start with finding the mind of the Spirit, what does that start with? It starts with, this is going to sound so, because they've hijacked it, this is going to sound new agey. They've hijacked it. This is not theirs. This is ours. It takes the right internal conversation. Okay? Following the Spirit starts with the right internal conversation. Okay, now we're going to talk about this, and you'll feel better about it after we pull it away from the hippies and we get it back in the Bible. Okay? The right internal conversation is the first step. Scripture talks about as it got closer to the time to go to the house of God, that Solomon would change his behavior. In other words, there's somewhere there was in Solomon, there was a dial that was turned or a lever that was pushed or something happened where, oh, it's church starts at 7 and it's 4:30. It's time to start setting this aside and clearing my mind of this. It's time to start thinking in a certain way. This is before I ever get to the prayer room. Okay, we're going to the prayer room before we go to church, but before I get to the prayer room, I can't just have my brain bouncing off the walls. You've got to corral your thoughts. You can't just let your thoughts think whatever they want. And so having the right internal conversations is the first step to getting the mind of the Holy Ghost. I used to love to listen to Rush Limbaugh, and then I stopped because it made me argumentative. And I would go right from Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity. Now, listen, if that offends you, pay higher taxes if you want to. Anyway. But I had to stop. I had to stop because Brother Limbaugh was not helping me get ready for church. Okay. In the South, I don't know if it's this way in Indiana, but you got to preach against George Strait and all of these people because George doesn't help you get ready for church either. And you can't have friends in low places and come to heavenly places. You know what I'm talking about? And it doesn't matter how much you like such and such artist. All of this is a part of collecting your mind, collecting your thoughts. The word soul, Greek word for soul, psuche. You make the P sound, the pi. You make it psuche. You can actually almost hear the word psyche in it, psuche or psyche. You can almost hear the word psyche in it. And that the psyche, the soul, soulish man in the New Testament, soul, psuche. You can actually hear psyche in it. And that's the psyche. That's the seat of the emotions. It's the thinking part of the brain. It's the feeling part of the brain. Okay? The Word of God is so good. It's so good that it can discern between the thoughts. It can discern between the soulish man and the spiritual man. It can discern whether or not this is just an emotional thing for you or if this is really getting down on the Holy Ghost level. Okay, so the soulish man, we are supposed to worship God, body, soul, and spirit. We are not cardiac Christians. Y'all know what a cardiac Christian is? That's where, I love Jesus in my heart. No, you don't just love Jesus in your heart. We love him body, soul, and spirit. That's right. By the way, this is a lot of times, sometimes we get this backwards. Yes, the Holy Ghost starts with changing your spirit, but sometimes serving God doesn't, I'm gonna be honest with you, maybe it works different for you. Sometimes getting the mind of the Holy Ghost doesn't start with my spirit. My spirit's not, I'm not saying I'm backslid, but my spirit's not right. Sometimes getting the mind of the spirit starts with my physical man. And bringing my physical man into alignment with the word of God and saying, no, you're not just going to go and do. No, you're not just going to look. You're not just going to drink. You're not just going to. Thank God I've never been bound by any of that stuff, but you're sometimes your physical man. And the way that looks like in church, sometimes you may not feel like it. Let me put this in my mic stand. You may not feel like it. Listen to me. You may not feel like it, but sometimes getting in the Holy Ghost, sometimes getting in the Holy Ghost means turning up the volume. Sometimes turning up the heat means turning up the volume. And so sometimes having a breakthrough is the difference in saying, I love And sometimes the difference in having a great move of God is the difference in sitting there nodding and waving at preaching and getting up and saying, no, I believe what you're preaching. Notice what's happening in this room right now. You may have been tired. You may still be rubbing sleep out of your eyes. But the truth of the matter is, if you and I wanted a move of God in this room, all it's going to take is for you and I. So what that is, that's us making our outer man get in line with the inner man, with the word of God. Our outer man is adopting the mind of the spirit. You can be seated. Hallelujah. So what is this process? We could get in the weeds and stay in the weeds. What is this process? Step number one. You got to bring your mind around. You have to have the right internal conversations. The right internal conversations. How do I change the internal conversation? Number one, this is the role of the Word of God. I can wake out of a dead sleep, not feel good. In fact, things be going bad, not be in a spiritual frame at all. And brother, if I open that book and read it, mark it down, I've heard from God. This simple. God said that. And so part of getting the right internal conversation involves this. Okay, we don't have time to get, there's a lot there. Let me just give you an example. There's a lot there. I had a professor. In fact, Brother Nunez, me and Brother Galindo were in this class together. And this professor said, I don't know if he was in this class, we stayed later. And he said, you need to be reading your Bible once a month. And he does it. Unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you, you couldn't halfway. He was on the translation committee for the English Standard Version. Not, he wasn't writing the commentary.
He read the entire Bible every month.
Every month. Still does it. He was on the translation committee. Like, you couldn't put a Greek text in front of him or a Hebrew text or an Aramaic text or a German text, except for he could read it perfectly and translate it on the spot. On the spot. Unbelievable. And you couldn't halfway quote or reference a verse, and he'd say, well, okay, now that's what it says in the King James, but this is what it says in the ESV, and this is what it says in the NASB, and this is what it says in the American Standard. Okay. Unbelievable.
Unreal. The only day he didn't teach us for 8 hours was the day he taught us for 12 hours. Okay. And he walked around. I've got stuff in my Bible, otherwise I'd do it. We'd have his thumb inside of it, and he'd walk around with it open. He taught us for better than 40 hours in 1 week. And me and Brother Galindo are sitting there just trying to keep up. Okay. And he had a cup of coffee in one hand and his Bible in the other. And he's walking around. Well, when somebody like that tells you you need to read your Bible once a month, you go, okay. All right. 40 chapters a day, you read your Bible once a month. 20 chapters a day, you read your Bible every 2 months. 10 chapters a day, you read your Bible every 4 months, three times a year. It's that easy. 40 chapters a day. And we're like, Dr. O's 40 chapters a day. He said, listen, the second time through is faster than the first time. And the third time is faster than the second. And the 10th time is faster than the 9th. And the 30th time is faster than the 29th. Until all of a sudden, and this sounds odd. We're talking about getting the mind of the Spirit. All of a sudden, this sounds odd, but it's good. All of a sudden, you're speed reading scripture. And you could tell that he's done this over and over and over and over and over and over and over so that he can read 40 chapters in an hour, so that he's spending his daily devotion just. And we're like, you mean you don't slow down and study this? He said, no. No. He said, just get it in there. He said, just get it in there. He said, if you'll just get it in there, he said, the Holy Ghost can speak to you out of it. This is part of getting your mind, having the right internal conversations. Just get it in there. Okay, I'll give you another example. My kids, one of which I have right here. If you were to take Grace Ann, who is just 12 in January, and you are in Coleman, Alabama, and you are at our church in the parking lot, and it's just your family and her, and you say, okay, Grace Ann, how do we get to Slim Chickens restaurant? Grace Ann can take you to Slim Chickens restaurant. You know why? Not because her mom and dad have ever said, now you turn right out of the parking lot, left onto Highway 31 off of 278, right, you veer right onto Cherokee Avenue, and then it's down there on the right. We've never done that. You know why she can tell you to get to Slim Chickens? Because we go to Slim Chickens all the time. Okay? Getting your mind, having the right internal conversation, start by just having the right internal conversation all the time. Over and 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 over. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Right. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me, to eat up my flesh, and they stumbled and fell. You know why? That just happens over and over and over again. Last example, and then we'll move on. To be a successful Bible quizzer. To be a successful Bible quizzer. First of all, it's huge to be a successful Bible quizzer. To be a successful Bible quizzer, one of two things has to be the case. You either have to be psycho, or you can have a psycho mom. We have great Bible quizzers in our house. And the kids are all normal. Some of the most normal kids you'll ever meet in your life. But I hear them. I help some. Most of the time I'm gone while they're doing it. And I walk in and they're sitting at the table. Now, if you give my boys the chance, they'll be out in the woods. But they're sitting at the table and I hear them. How many verses do they know? 400 and something since January? 400 and something. There's people in this room that do this. 400 and something verses since January. And I hear them going over and over and over and over. And then tomorrow we're going to do it again and again and again. And then the next day again and again and again. Until one of these days you're going to hear a 50-something-year-old Noah Wilbanks get up and he's going to be quoting out of Acts, or he's going to be quoting out of Psalms. You got to get it in there. This is a part of getting the mind of the Spirit. By the way, I have never read my Bible in a month. Don't think I'm saying that. Okay. I've read it a lot. I've read it through several times. I think approaching 20 times. I've never read it in a month. Okay. Just unless you think I'm saying, but I might try it one of these days. My mom, when she passed away, was in the process of writing it by hand. What was she doing? You get it in there. This is a part of getting your mind. I know we're going a little bit long. This is a part of getting the mind of the Spirit. If you ever have any doubt whether or not you're hearing from God, read this. God said it. Okay. So this is part of getting the mind of the Spirit. That's the role of the Word of God in getting the mind of the Spirit. And then you have to pray until your thinking changes. They used to call this praying through. I've taken my glasses off. I can't even tell if y'all have eyebrows now. But they were getting a little foggy. Old timers used to call this praying through. What is praying through? Well, we'll get to this again in just a moment. You pray through until you've prayed through your flesh. Okay, listen to me. Through your outer man, you have to pray into your soulish man or woman. Through your flesh, into your emotions, soulish man. And then you have to pray until you've exhausted your emotions. We'll get to this again in just a moment. And you have to pray until you're not praying your stuff anymore. Okay? This is praying through. A lot of times, the reason we can come to the altar and pray, cry, shout even, and it never really changes us is because we pray through our outer man, that's good. And we get into our soulish man where we feel it, that's good. But then we stop. And if you're gonna get the mind of the Spirit, again, we'll get to this in a moment, you have to pray. There's great effort at the beginning to get past your outer man. That takes great effort. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Pray through your outer man, and then you have to pray through your soulish man, the part that feels it. And you're developing a rhythm. Then all of a sudden, you get to a stage where you're not in charge of the rhythm anymore. You know what I'm talking about here. Where it's not my effort that's carrying the prayer anymore. And it's not even what I'm feeling that's carrying the prayer anymore. The Holy Ghost is carrying the prayer. My mom was so good at this. My dad was too, but my mom is what comes to mind particularly. And she passed on in 2018. But she would pray and she would get the ladies in the church and they would spend sometimes 4 and 5 hours. And you know what they would do? For the first hour or so, they would pray and then they would get into what they would feel. They would feel it. And you could hear the ladies' prayer room. You could hear it. You know, please, I would never make... This is not making light, but you could hear that prayer room. It sounded like, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not making light. You're not supposed to make light of people praying. But that's what it would sound like. And you could hear tongues. And you could hear, as our text said, you could hear groanings that could not be uttered. And all of a sudden, you could hear it come back down, but it didn't come down. They're just sitting there, and it's, oh, Jesus. You could hear them. Oh, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. This, you've been in prayer meeting. Oh, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, unbidden, without anybody driving it, over here in this corner of the prayer room, Sister So-and-so, woo, and it would come on her. And then when it came on her, it came on this next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and until all of a sudden, the whole room, and all of a sudden, it's not their rhythm. They're not the one, it's not their effort that's pushing this forward anymore. So you have to pray. Part of this is you have to pray until your mind changes. I have people come to my office. I know we're taking a long time. This is just, I have people come to my office and they're about to do, brother, they're about to do the dumbest thing. And they're telling you they're going to do it. And you're like, well, maybe you shouldn't sell everything and move to Texas. Maybe you shouldn't. Oh, we've been praying about it.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, you've been praying about it? And they have.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They've been praying and saying words about it. But they haven't ever prayed. They haven't ever prayed through to where they've yielded their mind, where they've yielded their own thoughts. Here's another example to the converse. I had people come in my office and say, Pastor, we're thinking about getting a divorce. They never tell me. Now, we've been praying and fasting about this. We've been talking to God, and we feel like God wants us to. Never. Never. Okay? In other words, they obviously haven't prayed. So it's not, you have to pray. Boy, it's like that one man, preacher, he said, you have to pray until you've prayed. It's not just saying prayer words. Okay, all right. You have to pray until your mind changes. You have to pray until the internal conversation changes. Can I just give you some examples from scripture where this happened? Oh, I lost my, I was away from it long enough that it went to sleep. There we go. Let me give you some examples where it happened. Okay, you have to pray until the internal conversation changes. The power of this is you can get to a place where you live where the internal conversation is right. There are some people in church that almost never stumble. I didn't say they don't go through things. They almost never stumble. And it's because the conversation's always right. There's some people, if they have a fender bender, they're going to miss church for the next 2 weeks because it just threw them off course. And there's some people, the car can blow up and they'll be there. Internal conversation. This goes back to our text. This goes back to our text. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but under, this is Ephesians 5, but understanding what the, if you, what the will of the Lord is. In Romans, what the mind of the Spirit is. And be not drunk with wine. You know this one. Wherein is excess. What does it say? But be. No, no. Somebody preach with me here. But be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Listen to the next verse. What's the next verse say? Speaking to yourselves. How am I supposed to talk to myself? There's a whole series of people in Scripture that talk to themselves. Psalms would say, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Internal conversations. Okay? Internal. Let me give you another example. There's a young man that yells at his father, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. This is a red-faced conversation. This was not a business transaction. Okay, I'm going to tell you how bad that was. To say, give me my inheritance, you know what that's tantamount to saying? I wish you were dead already. And he gets it, and he goes into a far country, and he spends it all on riotous living. Okay? Spends it all on riotous living. Two words for life in the New Testament. Bios, like biology. The other one is zoe. Which one do you think it was there? Huh? Bios? Bios means
natural.
Zoe means spiritual, spirit life, natural life, spirit life. And when scripture says that he went into a far country and spent all that he had on riotous living, which one do you think it was, Bios or Zoe? I've heard both. Which one? Zoe. Very good. Most people say Bios because they think, well, it's carnal, it's natural. No. He spent all that he had on riotous living. There was a spirit about what this boy was doing. So sometimes, we're going to make a point here in just a second. Sometimes your pastor deals, two kids will do the same dumb thing, and the pastor will deal with one of them, and it looks like he deals with both of them, and one of them, he deals with it this way, and the other one, he deals with it that way, and the moms and dad go, "That's not fair!" Well, the truth of the matter is, there was a spirit about what one of them was doing.
Yes, that's right.
One of them was carnal, but the other one there was a spirit about it. And this one I can restore because they fall on their face and repent. And this one's just trying to keep their...
Yeah.
But we're talking about, there's a series of people that talk to themselves. But this young man finds himself in a pig pen after all is spent. He finds himself in a pig pen. And scripture says, and when he came to himself, what happened? He said to himself, I will arise. There's a whole bunch of people that have internal conversations.
Yeah.
I will arise and go to... By the way, getting up and going to the Father's house doesn't start with getting up and going to the Father's house. It starts with saying. It starts with an internal conversation. I will get up. This is the mind of the Spirit. Okay. So that's our... So here's some examples of internal conversations that change during prayer. When you read Psalms, Psalms is kind of a Psalms is a misleading title. That's a Greek word, psalm. You say the P sound, psalm. But the Hebrew title for psalms is not psalm. The Hebrew title is tehillim, which means worship. Tehillah, worship. Tehillim, worships, meaning multiple worships. That doesn't arrive well in English. We don't say worships. But the Hebrew title for Psalms is not psalm, but is worship. And they are not just songs; they are prayers. It's not just a book of songs; it's a book of prayers. But it's not just a book of prayer; it's a book of taking the whole Old Testament. Anything you can read about creation in the Psalms. You can read about going through the Red Sea, coming through the desert, receiving the law. You can read about killing Goliath. You can read about David laying at the gate of Gath and writing on the... You can read about it. It's all in there. It's a kind of a midway interpretation of the Old Testament. By the way, if you're going to... The first interpretation of the Old Testament is worship. That's how the Old Testament... To say that I understand the Old Testament, the first way that you express that I understand the Old Testament is you worship. So Tehillim, it's prayer. So here is a couple, you got time for a couple of examples? Okay, here's a couple of examples where the mind is changed. Psalm 3, we'll just read the first four verses. Listen to the man, to David, right? Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased? Hold on. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Listen to his brain. They obviously don't have his hands pinned. He's writing. Okay. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And part of the reason we know this is for the brain is because it uses the word Selah, which can be a musical interlude. It's like we sing a song and then all of a sudden they just play and we worship God. That can be Selah. But what's supposed to be happening in Selah is we're supposed to be thinking about what we just said. He's praying here. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Think about that. This is the man that came to prayer. He came to prayer with his mind pummeled. He came to prayer with his mind stricken.
Yeah.
He came to prayer with we'll use modern language here, with anxiety up here. and depression up here. This man's depressed. You can read the depression in there. You can read the anxiety in there. Stress. He comes to prayer with stress. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no, listen to this, how ultimate this feels. There is no hope for him in God. This is what everybody's saying. Yeah. Everybody's saying this. But I want you to listen. Next verse. Put that up there, brother. But after the Selah, listen, his brain changed. His mind changed. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Notice verse four. This is totally different. First three verses, who's he talking to? God. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. But all of a sudden, it changed in his brain. Now he's praying. He's still talking to God. But he starts talking about him. Yeah. Yeah. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Woo! That sounds like answered prayer right there. Yeah. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, put the next verse up there. I know I was only going to go four. I laid me. Notice what happened. He was able to pray his brain. The man that came to prayer saying, "They're gonna kill me." The anxiety up here, with the stress up here, with the depression up here, all of a sudden the man who was able to pray his brain through, now he's saying, I laid me down and I slept. It sounds like the stress came way down. That sounds like the depression came way down. The anxiety comes way down. He prayed his brain through. All right, you got time for one more? We're talking about, you have to pray in these prayers. You're praying and you're talking to God. But really, these prayers, they're for God to hear. First of all, God said them. But he said them so I could say them. And he said them so I could hear them, but he said them so he could hear them. He said them so I could say them. I hear him so he can hear him. He said him so I can hear him. I say him so he can hear him. But he also said it so I can hear him. See how cool God is? God's a bro, man. He can do it. He's awesome. Psalm 103. Let me just, maybe we can, my glasses are fogging up. We'll stretch this out here. Listen to Psalm 103. This is a prayer, but listen to who he's talking to. We're talking about getting our brain right. Listen to who he's talking to. Do they have that up? Is that up there? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. This is a prayer. This sounds like church. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within. What are you doing? I'm trying to get the mind of the Spirit. I'm abandoning my thoughts. I'm talking to God, but I'm letting my inner man hear what I'm saying. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen, we know he's talking to his brain. Listen. And forget. That's what happens in your brain. Remembering and forgetting. And forget not all his benefits. He's still talking to his soul. He's praying himself through. Who forgiveth, listen to what he tells his soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's literally telling his brain, you're going to be renewed. Your thinking's going to be renewed. Okay. So is there a process to getting in the Spirit? Yes, we just talked about step one. Get your brain right.
Right.
Yeah. You can't just think what you want to think and live for God. Right. You can't think cuss words and say holy words. So you know what? If you don't want to think cuss words, you can't listen to cuss words. Can't think dirty and pray pure. so you can't let dirty things come in. Get your brain right. You can't think divorce and keep a marriage. Get your brain right. Getting your brain right leads to praying right. In fact, you can pray your brain through, but you have to, kind of aim. It's like that man that came running to Jesus out of the tomb. He didn't have fear yet.
Right.
He wasn't vindicated yet. He wasn't delivered yet. But there's this prior action that has to be taken in the human. You have to come to church thinking, I'm gonna run to him. So there's a process to getting in the spirit. Number one, get your mind right. I'll just jump on these real quick. You'll recognize them. Then you have to listen. I'm gonna say this in a particular way, and I'm gonna tell you what I don't mean. You have to pray to exhaustion. What I don't mean is that you have to pray until you're sweated out. What I do mean, we talked about this a little bit ago, you have to pray until you've exhausted your reasons for being there. Not my daily habit, but I've done this a lot. Okay? I've done this a lot. This is not my daily habit, but I've done it a lot. Prayer and pray 2 hours a day. It's not my daily habit, but I've done it a lot. Daily, normally about an hour, right around an hour. But I've done that, I've done 2 hours a day a lot. And that started my late 20s. In fact, just about every year I'll go on a stretch where I'll pray 2 hours a day. Brother Booker told me to do that. He said, Brother Wilbanks, he said, when I really need to hear from God, he said, I'll go to the church day by day. He said, and I'll pray no less than 2 hours every day. He said, and I discovered something about me. Maybe it's not this way with you. Assuming that it's different with everybody. It takes a good 45 minutes to get past me. Where you come in and you start praying in King James, you know, Thou, O Lord, you know, all this. But then in about 45 minutes, something happens. I run out of King James English or whatever. And it switches where me and God actually start talking. And then I've got a prayer list where on Mondays I pray for this group, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. That didn't originate with me. That's a different discussion. Somebody taught me that. So I come to prayer with my own list. And then my King James English will run out or whatever. And then my list will run out. And there's some other scenarios like that. And all of a sudden, I've exhausted my words, my needs, my reasons for being there. And the most effective praying that I've ever done is when I switched from praying my stuff to praying about what God wants done. I started praying for Puerto Rico. I didn't know anybody in Puerto Rico. I started praying for Puerto Rico, and I did it for a while. And I thought, why in the world are you praying about Puerto Rico? All of a sudden, one Sunday morning, a young man named named Juan came to church with Puerto Rico tattooed on his neck. Not the word, like the island. I asked him, I said, bro, what's that? He says, Puerto Rico. The island of Puerto Rico. We prayed, John is what he was called in English. We prayed him through to the Holy Ghost. And I'm just believing God's still pulling on him. Okay? All of a sudden, coming out of the woodwork, I had people say, Pastor, we've got connections in San Juan, in Puerto Rico. I can't wait. I'm going to go to, I don't know how. I'm going to go to Puerto Rico and preach. And we're going to have revival. Yeah. That's what. So now we've got another connection. We've got a family just moved to our church and the wife from Puerto Rico. We're going to preach to these. That's the most. How much more does God have to say it? Pray about it, and I'll bring a man with Puerto Rico tattooed on his neck. That didn't happen. You have to pray through your words, pray through your feelings, pray through your list, and then you have to make a switch, pull the lever, and all of a sudden I'm not praying my stuff, I'm praying his stuff. And then there's sometimes as a minister, I'll go in the auditorium and it's just me. And I'll walk up and down the aisles. And I'll go and I know where he sits. Or I know where Sister So-and-so sits. And I'll go and I'll lay my hand on their chair. They're not in there. I don't know if that means anything. But it focuses my praying. I said, God, what needs to happen right here? I've got people fired as well. You mess with me, I'll pray for you. God, take your job. You're laughing. And you lay hands on that chair and say, God, this is what's going on. The problem is, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know what the mind of the Spirit is. This is what Paul says. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us. When I don't know what to pray and I don't know how, the Holy Ghost never misses it. The Holy Ghost prays perfect. It never misses it. So you pray until you're praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if there's some people that are uncomfortable with this. Be uncomfortable. I tell them, pray in other tongues. I know people are uncomfortable with that. Fine. Be uncomfortable with it. Pray in other tongues. You don't know how I've been living. Yeah, well, then you really need to pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues because it's perfect. The Holy Ghost is perfect when it does it. And it knows how to pray. It never misses it. It stands before the throne of God and says, this is what we're praying. And you're praying the will of God and it's perfect. And you're praying with the mind of the Holy Ghost. You're praying with the mind of the Spirit. Okay, I'll close with this right here. A couple Monday nights ago, Monday night is our church-wide prayer. Monday night church prayer. We pray for the first 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so. I just let everybody pray. Everybody's got their own prayer. If you need to repent. If you've got needs, pray for needs. Whatever. First 30 minutes, 40 minutes, that's your own prayer. You just pray. But most of the time, often enough, that last 15, 20 minutes, I'll get in the microphone. Come on. Come on. Make it out, man. Oh!
couple Monday nights ago. You can remain standing. A couple Monday nights ago, I started pushing prayer that last 20, 30 minutes. And I'm going to tell you, it was good prayer. It was good prayer anyway. We could have closed it and everybody said, oh, we had great prayer tonight. But at about, we start prayer at 7. About 20 to 8, quarter to 8, we start pushing it. And before you know it, four rows back, over here on the left hand side, Sister Lorraine, and then Sister Joanne over here on this side, and Brother Ricky Morgan in the back of the church over here where he's been praying. And you start hearing it. You start hearing it. And then all of a sudden there's this eruption that happens over here on the front right, and then there's this that's down here in the front middle, and then all of a sudden it began. And what happened was, where we were having to give effort, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came in and we weren't praying with our own effort anymore. The Holy Ghost was driving it. Now the Holy Ghost is in this room right now. I've talked long enough. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. I know we're going to go eat lunch, but I think what we ought to do right now, right there where you're sitting, don't accommodate your flesh. Don't accommodate what you were thinking when you came in here. Let's lift our hands and lift our voice all over this house. Come on. Come on. This is going to take your own impetus here. Come on. Somebody cry out when you don't feel like crying out. Somebody reach for Him when you don't feel like reaching for Him. Yeah, somebody pray in tongues. Somebody pray as the Holy Ghost gives you utterance. Yes! Yes! Shandekito Kotarabaha.